I'll pop out later and see if I can find you one then. What do you fancy, Daniel Craig? Or something a bit more old school with a lot of chest hair, like Burt Reynolds? She's not listening now, he can tell. She has her little compact mirror out and is inspecting her reflection. The grimace on her face implies she's not entirely delighted with what she sees. With a shaking hand, she tries to grip a brush, dip it in powder, touch herself up for her final scene. It is pitiful to watch, and he can't bear it. He puts the camera down, lumbers towards her, and sits at her side. There is, sadly, plenty of room for both of them. He takes the brush and the powder and goes to work. He adds some blush and a touch of colour to her lips. They are cracked and thin, dehydrated, like her body is rejecting anything that will sustain it. Patiently, she endures his fussing without a single word of abuse. She must be feeling bad, he knows, to miss an opportunity to mock him for his makeup skills. All those years in the village amateur dramatics have not been wasted. Are you done, Max Factor? She says, her head lolling back onto the pillow, as though holding it up has drained her of all energy. How do I look? He reaches out and smooths down her hair. It is a dazzling shade of silver grey, closely cropped to her skull in one of those boyish styles that only the very beautiful can carry off. And Andrea is beautiful, or at least she had been. Now the once stylish cheekbones, the type his mother always said aged well, are poking out like wires, and her skin is stretched taut like the world's worst facelift. Her eyes are clouded by pain. She's refused to take any medication this morning, saying she needs her wits about her, but are still the same striking shade he will always remember. Such a deep blue, they are almost violet. Elizabeth Taylor eyes. He's seen Andrea in many of her TV roles from back in her heyday, and she was what they would have called a stunner back then. She was never a star and hasn't appeared on screen in anything new since 2005, but she still occasionally gets fan mail or an invitation to appear at a convention. A lot of people would recognise her. Those eyes, that face, all the roles she played in the 1970s and 1980s, usually as someone's love interest or a feisty barmaid or what she called posh totty. Never quite the leading lady, but then again, interesting roles for women were sadly lacking then, and she had two kids to look after as well. These days, she'd have smashed it, he thinks. Been a Keely Hawes, or a Rachel Weisz, or a Kate Winslet. Still, even when she was playing the tart with a heart on The Sweeney, or a sexy alien sidekick in Doctor Who, she was always good, always stupendously glamorous. Always unforgettable. In fact, the only people who seem to have been able to forget Andrea are the two people she loves the most. The two people she's about to record her final message for after weeks of preparation. Of field trips for him, of rooting through photo albums, making cassette tapes, emptying out bin bags, setting up video sharing accounts, drawing on maps with red pen, pilfering from scrapbooks, pillaging their past in the determined hope that she can change their future. He has no idea if it will work. He has no idea if he even cares. They're not real to him, Rosehip and Popcorn. He's never met them, and has no real desire to. She banned him from contacting them to explain that she really is ill this time. From that, he deduces that Andrea may have tried to scam them with dramatic hospital visits before now, just to get their attention. And that suits him just fine. He's been friends with Andrea for more than 10 years and never been introduced to them, which says it all. Partly, he thinks, looking on as she sucks in breath, eyes closed, fingers weakly clinging onto the blanket with her coral-painted nails. She didn't want them to see her like this. Reduced to skin and bones, held together with sheer force of will. Partly, she is so focused on this crazy plan of hers.